Good morning and welcome to Bridge of Hope Church. Stand with me. I'm excited about today's service and what God's going to do. Open up your heart and just let the Lord do whatever He wants to do. Be an open vessel. Jesus, whatever you want to do. Amen. Anybody need some joy in here today? Amen. We need some joy. Yes. Let's learn from the children up here. They're jumping up and down for joy. Okay. There is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is amazing. All right, let's worship Him. Sing that a few more rounds. I've been made new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what Jesus does for us. Makes us a new creature, new creation. I trust that you know Jesus as your personal Savior. We're going to sing a precious old hymn. I want to encourage you when you sing these hymns. Yeah, I sang that for 40 years. Think about what you're saying. How many of us don't need God's grace every day? How many of us have not found that it's truly amazing how the Lord can take a person that's dead and dark in sin and change them into a new creation only by His amazing, amazing grace. Changing it up a bit today.
Amen. Is Deb Nelson here today? Have I seen Deb? All righty. I titled this sermon today, One Thing is Needed. One Thing is Needed. So we are not in the book of Peter today. I've been preaching to you through the book of Peter. And so Tuesday morning I woke up at our usual time, and I'm sitting on the side of the bed, and I felt like the Lord said, this is what I want you to speak on today. So I've moved away from Peter. I like to preach through a book, but more important is following the leading of the Spirit of God. So we're in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 41. Got a couple of announcements for you. Brother David is starting back the grief support group on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. Thursdays at 1 o'clock. This is an open group. If you'd like to be a part of it, I promise you it will help you. The annual board meeting is on April 2nd. I believe we're going to attempt to start about 11:50. So basically, right after church. And Tuesday men's meeting, I had a suggestion this week, which I thought was good. And he said, you know, you really should tell the people that the actual meeting time starts about 5:15. So if you get off work at 5, we really don't start till 5:15. You're not late at all. So we really want you to come. We're studying a great book that will help you. And I may have found another book today that I might go through after that. And so the Lord is doing great things. Also, this week in our board meeting, we accepted 3 new members. Eric and Rachel Sendejas, 3 families, I should say. I know they had a couple no votes, but that we accepted it. No. Eric and Rachel, precious. Ricky and Michelle Craig, they applied for membership. We voted on them. And then Laura, who you may not know Laura. Laura, would you? She's back here. Raised Baptist, that's why she's on that back row. But amen. Precious people. We're glad to have them. Amen. Amen. So have you found Luke chapter 10? Very, very familiar portion of scripture. If you've been in church any time at all, you've heard this preached on. Chapter 10 of the book of Luke, verse 38 says, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, Bethany actually, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my, you know, that is just the wrong word to speak to Jesus. Do you not care? I promise you he does. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So the title of the sermon, One Thing is Needed. Father God, we just come before you today, Lord, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we're just praying for the glory of the Lord to descend upon us today. Lord, just manifest your presence in this place. God, touch us. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, all of us would choose to be Mary. God, that we would sit at your feet today and just love on you and let you love on us. God, this world has a way of bringing so much care, so much anxiety to us, God. And we know, Lord, your word says that the cares of this life choke off the word. I pray today, God, that everything else in our mind would just be removed. Lord, just for a moment in time, God, help us to just dump everything off and let us spend a few moments with you today. Father, we worship and we honor you. I pray, God, use me as a conduit And Lord, touch their hearts, Lord. Let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So you see that we've changed things up today because we feel like this is what the Lord wanted. The worship team is going to come back in just a few minutes. I am going to attempt to speak a short time. Do you believe in miracles today? Jesus went to Bethany, probably not alone, probably had his people with him. Martha welcomes him into this house and wants to attempt to put a meal together, for him, does not mean that she went to the freezer and got a package of meat and began to thaw it out. It probably meant she went to the sheep pen, grabbed a goat, slaughtered the goat, skinned the goat. Are you following me? Picked the vegetables from the garden. I mean, this was not a 1 hour process or a 15. This was not a 30 minute meal by the Pioneer Woman, okay? This involved a lot of work. Every meal did. Even to the getting the firewood to build the fire. I mean, this was I guess what I'm trying to say is most of the times when I have heard this sermon, I hear a good bashing on Martha. Well, I am a Martha. And I'm not going to bash me. How many people would say I'm a Martha? In other words, some of you are saying, I'm not even a female. A Martha is a doer. She gets things done, right? She has this list in her mind. I promise you, she's got a list in her mind. I got to get this and I got to do that. And I got to check these things off my list, right? And Mary was a different type. It's personality types, really. And so Martha was very convoluted in her mind at this point with the responsibility that she has invited someone into her home. Is that a bad thing? No, it's a great thing. I don't know about you, but if Jesus was in town, I sure would like if he'd stop over by my house, right? And so we know that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus became very good friends with this family. Jesus became very good friends with this family. Very intimate friends. I mean, this was in John chapter 11, we see that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In John chapter 12, I think, he goes back to their house at some point, and Mary comes out at that point and anoints his feet with that ointment. Remember? And so, now this was way before that. So, Don't get the two stories confused. But Mary has just, Jesus is there and she just goes and sits at his feet, just wanting to learn, just wanting to hear the words of the master. She knew. But Martha's got something to do. She's got an agenda. She's checking off the list and she got flustered. You ever been there? You ever get flustered with life? And then we even talked about this in Sunday school. This goes all the way back to Adam. Well, it's that woman you gave me, Jesus, our God. You know, she's the one that caused this. If we can push off our frustration on someone else, we do it. Don't we? It's just, I don't know, is it innate? I don't know why we do that, but we do that. So it's everybody, if you've ever been a boss, you can find yourself getting very irritated with your employees because things are not getting done. Never looking through their eyes that maybe they are doing everything they can do. You're just backing up for a little while. So Mary was not lazy. Are you getting this? She was not lazy. But she made a choice. And that's what Jesus said to her, or said to Martha. He says, in the NLT, it says this, there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. and I'm not taking it away. I love that. Now, my old King James Version said one thing is needed. I would speak that to you today. See, there's lots of reasons we come to church on Sunday morning. Maybe somebody invited you. You're already saying, man, I don't know why I come to this crazy place. Sometimes people that come into town, they would need to build a business, so they go to the biggest church in town. There's all kinds of motivations of why people choose the church, why they go to church. But there's only one thing that should be considered. Is he there? Because I want to be where he is at. So he says, there's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Martha has discovered it. You see, life is all about the choices we make. You know, I really believed that Martha would have said, I didn't know I had a choice. I invited you into my home, and this is what's necessary. This customs say that when I invite somebody, we feed them. My mother was a feeder of people. It didn't matter who you, and she wasn't a good cook. I mean, she was an awful cook. But you come to my house and she's going to try to put something in front of you to eat. And she didn't take no. And so a lot of times my mom's name was Amber. If you come to my house, you'll hear her mutter, quit being an Amber. Don't be an Amber. Because I'll say, hey, you want some of this? Have you tried this? Oh, this is really good. And I will push food on you. The custom of the day, the responsibility of the day, met up with the choice of the time. Martha didn't even know she had a choice. Do you realize you have a choice today? You can do your religious duty, and you've done that. You've come and sat. Now, you can sit and think about what you're going to do this afternoon, or you can make a choice. I am here to worship. See, Mary chose to be a worshiping disciple. I want to learn of him. Martha, the Bible says in verse 40, the NLT again, says Martha was distracted. She had a big dinner she needed to prepare. And she said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do the work? You have to choose in the moment. We have to choose to worship. We have to choose to listen. We have to choose to pray. I promise you this. I pray a lot more out of diligence, out of discipleship, than I do out of just wanting to. See, if you're a person that just says, well, I'll worship when I feel like it. Oh, you won't worship much. It's got to be I was so blessed. I don't know why these two little precious kids sat up there on that front row with me and you guys couldn't see them. But it was Madison and Charlie, I think, was their name. And Madison just jumped. Boy, she was just, and I love that. I mean, oh, what is it about age that we have to get sophisticated? You know, maybe you call it sophisticated. I'll just call it boring. We have a choice. Do you know you have a choice to be mad? You have a choice to be offended. You have a choice to get angry. Or you have a choice to walk in love. Forgiveness. Life is all about the choices we make. But with every choice, there's a consequence that comes along with that. Mary chose wisely. One of the things that the Lord has been speaking to my heart. Now, you know I sit on the front row all the time. There's no mirror up here. I'm not like a bus driver. I can't look back there and look at you. I don't know what happens behind me. I sit on the front row and then I close my eyes. And I just worship because I have to get in the presence of God because I need to empty Eric so that the Spirit of God can minister to you. So it's a divine moment for me to empty myself. But the Lord has been speaking to me that we must protect the anointing of God in these services. We are a casual church. We sort of promote ourselves by saying we're casual. In other words, we don't care what you wear. I don't care what you, I want you to wear. It ain't that kind of church, but I don't care what you wear, but I do care what you're carrying, what's in your heart. And when the presence of God begins to flow, we must protect that anointing at all cost. If you ever heard my heart here now, we don't greet each other. If you can go to the bathroom before church, go to the bathroom before church. We turn our cell phones off. Are you getting it? The anointing. Folks, when God comes down, He's dealing with somebody. And if I, she's got her hands lifted and worshiping, and I say, "How you doing, Terry?" I just broke the anointing of God on her. Now, she may get back into that, and she may not. I cannot do that to you. I have to protect it. Folks, we can't stop babies from crying, but that's okay. That don't bother me. Don't be offended for me. Okay? Babies don't bother me. Adults bother me. You know, when I'm preaching and I look back and I see you chatting, that can get on my nerves just a little bit. Why? Because I believe that every time we get together, God's got something to speak. And when we get in His presence, I'm telling you, go back to your Old Testament. You read how sincerely they took that temple worship. And when people offer strange fire, they were struck dead. We protect that anointing. The Old Testament was showing us New Testament worship. We'll talk a little bit about that today. Don't let me go too long, Treva. Is Jesus teaching that service is not important? Absolutely not. Did you hear me? Jesus was not saying, "Martha, what you're doing is not important." No, He did not say that. He did not even rebuke her. He just says, "Mary's chosen wisely." She discerned the moment. Was that prophetic or what? Mary discerned the moment. Are you getting it? So she knew the moment that she should do this. But I believe that many people worship in their service. Because the Lord says, whatever you do it unto the Lord. Right? I believe the Featherstons, when they're serving you coffee, they're worshiping the Lord. I know their heart. And I know many of your hearts is not just to do something, it's to help. Do you understand those words? I know people on Facebook are saying, "Did we lose sound?" Mistakes are made regularly on both sides of this issue. Are we so busy doing things for God that we don't take time to be with God? Can I tell you who's most guilty on that? Pastors. Pastors get so busy with their work of the ministry, they forget the God of their ministry. It is imperative that I study and that I pray not to preach a sermon, but for me. See, we minister in the overflow. If I come in here emotionally drained and wore out, that's what you're going to get. You probably have got some of that before. I try to keep my batteries charged. How do I do that? Through worship. Through getting in the Spirit of God. So, see, I didn't start pastoring until I was 50 years old. Started with a satellite when I was 46. But it's 50 years old. A lot of things had been established in my life. I just want you to know, I am a worker. I've worked since I was a kid, 10 years old, started working in fields. When I was 15, I got a job, you know, in retail. That's just my life. So when I started pastoring, I brought the work principles into the house of God. And I use it like a job. And that's good to a certain extent. But sometimes I work out in the mornings, then I go into this little room that we have and I just read my Bible every day and I pray. And sometimes the Spirit of God is moving in my heart to the point where most of you know I weep easy. And I'll be crying. Don't nod on your head. You're supposed to say, no, we never seen you cry, Pastor. But the Spirit, and here's what's going on in my mind. Oh, hallelujah. I need to get to work, God. Oh, you get what I'm saying? The business side of me is working on the ministry side of me, and they're conflicting. Does that make sense? And so sometimes I'm worried that you're going to show up at 8 o'clock, but I'm not going to be here. It's a pride issue. That's what it really boils down to. So sometimes I have to wrestle this thing and say, choose wisely. So I'm not for sure if I'm preaching to you or preaching to me. The cares of this life choke off the Word of God. It's what the Word says. When I talk about worship, here's what the best definition that I have ever seen. It's practicing the presence of God. I love that. So that's, therefore, when we talk about worship, most people put us in the house. In the church house. But the truth of the matter is my life is supposed to be worship to God. Right? I worship God every day, every moment of the day, walking with Him. When you come before a king, there's always a protocol of how am I going to meet a king. Right? You don't do it flippantly. There's a right way to meet the king. And folks, every time we come together, we are coming before the presence of the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. And there is a right way, and there can be a wrong way. And when we don't take it reverently, it's wrong. When we are chatting it up, and we love chatting it up. But when the worship starts, when the song starts, the chatting should stop. Because the King of Kings is in the house. And so, we're going to chat it up again just as soon as service is over. But during this time, nothing is more important. Choose wisely. Choose to harness your brain. Hebrews 4:16 says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Make your petitions made known to God. I love Courtney says this a lot. It's a story of Esther. When Esther was a little afraid to go before her husband, the king, he could say, I don't want to talk to you today, but he didn't. He extended the scepter and said, come on into my presence. I want you to know the scepter of God is always extended to you because we're sons and daughters of God. So he says, don't come sheepishly. Don't come like a worm. Don't come wallering in. Come boldly. Because I love you. Sometimes we practice the sacrifice of praise. I have never read this verse the way it hit me this week. In Psalms 103, you hear me quote this verse quite a bit. Psalms 103 verses 1 and 2, David wrote this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. You know what I think he was really saying? Come on, David, get with it. How many times have you been in church and you think, I don't feel like worshiping the Lord? How many times on Monday morning when you go to work and you think, I don't feel like going worshiping the Lord right now? You know? And David has to stir himself up. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget the benefits of God. Come on, David. Come on. Get with it. Bless the Lord. I tell you this day, your feelings has nothing to do with praise and worship. You have to determine in your heart. I can't tell you the number of times I've come to church sick. Not contagious. Got to make that clarity today. I have stood up there and then come up here and preached to you while having a kidney stone. What do? You push through it. You tell your flesh, stand behind me, boy. God, I will worship you. Psalms 34, verse 1. I want this to be our memory verse this week. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. That is, what is the sacrifice of praise? He answers that. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. And I would add these words, even though the Bible says don't add to. Even when you don't feel like it. I promise you, if you give in to those feelings, you'll have those feelings a whole lot. Praise is the expression of thanks, gratitude, and adoration, applause for the goodness of God. You know, at the end of a song, oftentimes we clap, right? Have you noticed us doing that? We are not clapping for this team. No, sometimes we don't explain this. We ain't clapping for them. We're clapping for him. He's the one that deserves the applause. Amen. Psalms 126:3. I love this verse. The Lord has done great things for us, and our hearts are filled with joy. Don't ever forget that. The Lord's done such great things for us. Our hearts are filled with joy. Worship is actually from an old English word, worth-ship. What's he worth? What's Christ worth to you? You know, that's why worship grows. Have you noticed that in your life? Worship is developed and it grows because his worth to you is growing in your life. What, when you got saved, he was Savior. He was keep me out of hell. But now that you've been serving him for 10 or 20 years, all of a sudden, he's the lover of my soul. He's my everything. And so when I go to worship the Lord, it's sometimes hard for me to contain myself. How many of you was not raised in a church like this? So I know when you came in, this was weird. What we do and how we worship was a little strange to you. I get it. And here's my promise to you. We are not going to push this on anybody. Worship is you expressing your heart to him. This little girl, I don't know how old she was, 7 years old. She was worshiping Jesus, right? If you look at different cultures across the world, you will find that worship changes with the culture. Some cultures are much more free and they dance about in worship. David danced before the Lord. But his wife, Michael, it was a woman. His wife despised him in her heart because she got embarrassed that he did that. But his heart was pure before the Lord. I heard that. I'm going to show you why we worship the way we do. But hear me. Please hear me. I don't ever want to pressure you to worship in my style. See, my brother-in-law, Eddie, you guys remember him, he played the trombone on the pulpit. Eddie's a quiet guy. I remember the first time I heard him speak in the church. He started coming to Murray State, started coming to our church, played the piano for me. One day the Spirit of the Lord moved, and Eddie started talking while he was weeping. And I remember thinking, listen to a quiet guy. When a quiet guy speaks, you better listen. They got something to say. I've never seen Eddie worship like me, but I know he worships. Are you getting it? My brother-in-law rarely will lift his hands. Rarely. You know, the Bible says, shout to the Lord. I love that verse. And if you know, I'm just a loudmouth. What can I say? I'm quieter at a ball game than I am in church. Because I'm more excited about this team than I am any other team. Woo, that's good. You ought to shout for that one. But I know to many of you, I'm a freak. You're just a little scary, Pastor. Well, maybe so. You hang around me, you may just be just like me in a little bit, though, I promise you. So don't do that to people. Don't push your style on people. Just let them worship God. Now, I will say this to you. I encourage you, and you may want to do this in the privacy of your home. Try it. You know, I remember it was Pastor Art. Couldn't remember who it was. Pastor Art was raised Lutheran. He's our pastor over in Hope Harbor, Murray. And when he got saved, he's still Lutheran, buddy. I'm telling you, he's Lutheran. He'd stand, you know, we stood beside each other. Hallelujah, praise the God. Art's standing like this. He just doesn't move much. He's like the Europeans, you know, they're just staid in their personality. I'm sure if you go to a church in England, you're not going to see probably this kind of worship. They're just a different culture. Does that make sense to you? But sometime in the privacy of your home, raise them hands before the Lord. Just say, what goes through my mind is this. I surrender. It's the sign, right? If a cop comes behind you, what do? I didn't do it. She did it. No. Maybe that was only me. You know, you surrender, right? When a baby comes up to mama or daddy, he goes this, pick me up. Oh, buddy, I can't tell you how many times in service I've been, pick me up, Jesus. Pick me up and hold me close. So, you know, the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, shout to the Lord in the voice of triumph. But there's a time and a season for everything. You know, when I was about 17, 18 years old, our pastor's son got hit by a car. And the church was meeting up into the room. He was in surgery, and I didn't know exactly what was happening. And I've always sort of been a fun-loving person. And I walked into that room where the church was, and I was smiling. I was having a pretty good day. But when I walked in that room, whoom, I felt the atmosphere of the room. You get it? You understand? My smiling and frivolous spirit was not welcome there. There are some times when we come into the presence of God that the appropriate behavior is to stand still and be quiet. Maybe even get on your face before a holy God. But we clap! We shout! But not always. Are you getting it? For me to say, here's what worship looks like, I would be wrong, folks. Because worship changes as the atmosphere of the Spirit. There are some times when you come into the church, you know it's a holy moment. It's a reverent moment. And the best thing we can do, buddy, when I'm behind that pulpit, sometimes I don't know what to do. Sometimes I'm almost afraid to speak because it's such a holy moment. And I'm saying, Jesus, what do I do? See, I prepared a sermon. I promise you, if I'm here, there will be a sermon prepared. That's just who I am. But sometimes That sermon may not be what the Lord wants at the moment. You know, when Jehoshaphat heard the armies coming for him, the Bible says he was scared. He went before the Lord, and the Lord gave him the battle plan. Now listen to this. Here's your battle plan, Jehoshaphat. Send your worshipers out first. Buddy, if I was on the worship team at that point, I'd say, I'm sick today. If I'm going to go out, give me a sword at least, you know. Send your worshiper out first. Do you think it's the custom of man, the custom of the church, that we worship first? No, it's not the custom. It's logic. It's the plan of God to break up the foulness of our heart. The hardness of our heart can be broken through worship. So when the Word of God is planted, it's planted in good ground. I can remember when I taught Sunday school, and then I'd go from Sunday school class to leading worship. And I had an old man in my Sunday school class, and he'd just argue with me. Oh, he'd argue with me. Everything I said, he saw it the other way. He trained me really for ministry. Bless God. And I'd come behind the pulpit in a bad mood. I'd just be mad. But I knew enough to say, Lord, forgive my anger. These people deserve your presence. Come into this place as we worship you. So I wanted you to know that the form of what we do, it's biblical. It comes actually from some Hebrew words in the Old Testament that means praise and worship. So I'm going to talk to these real quick, and then we're going to take a chance and worship. Take some time, sorry. It's not a chance. Todah means to extend our hands in thanksgiving. Extend your hands in thanksgiving could be clapping or it could be raising, but there's an extension. Yoda means to worship with extended hands. That's why we do it. The Bible says the trees of the field clap their hands, right? We, you know, Romans 1 says we have no excuse, right? God has placed something in man's heart to worship. See, if we don't worship God, we'll worship a ball player. How silly. It's just a man. Worship the King of Kings, not a man. Hala, which we get the word hallelujah, means to boast, to rave, and celebrate. Zamar means to pluck the strings. There's some denominations that don't believe in instruments in the church, and you think, well, why do we? Because these Hebrew words. We believe that the praise of the Old Testament comes through to the New Testament. Tehillah means to sing forth the hallas. Barak means to kneel and to bless. Shabbat means to address in a loud tone or to shout. Praise is vocal adoration. You know when you're not praising is when you're quiet. I can't tell you how many people in church never lift your voice, never sing a song, but you just stand there. No, I'm sorry. That doesn't cut it. You got to let the praise out. See, your body, mind, spirit needs to hear the praise coming out of your mouth. It really does. The Greek word for prayer is proshush. It means up close and personal. Prayer is part of praise. But the Greek word for praise is proskuno. It means to kiss. You realize when you praise, you're kissing the face of God. Maybe you're kissing the feet of God like Mary did in a later story, where she was just so enamored with his presence and what he's done. She kissed his feet. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Mary in chapter 10 sit at His feet. Later on, she's seen God raise her brother from the dead. She's seen God did certain things in her life. And now she's not sitting at His feet. She's bowing at His feet, crying and breaking ointment over His... You get it? Her praise had elevated because her relationship has elevated. Right? Let's kiss the face of God. The worship team does not lead us or worship for us. Their job is to present an atmosphere where you can worship. They lead us into worship the King. So once in a while, Treva doesn't do this often, but once in a while she'll say, "Everybody raise your hands." I would encourage you, if she says that, and we really try not to do that a lot, but if she says that, I would encourage you to do that. I was telling you about Brother Art. And Brother Art, you know, his personality is very staid. But as he got more of a relationship and began to start in this different type of worship, he started lifting his hands like this. Now that might have took 2 years. I don't know. I don't know how long it took it. Do I have to lift? No. You can stand there like this and be totally into worship. That's why I can't look at you and say, "Oh, Terry is worshiping, but Brandy is not. How foolish of me." No, no. See, I can't see your heart. But I can encourage you. Just worship the Lord. So can I say this? We have a choice. Worship team, would you come back? We have a choice. You have a choice every time we're together to worship. You actually have a choice every day. Will you worship today at work? When someone says something ugly to you, will you worship or get mad? You have a choice, right? I love those words of Jesus. Mary has chosen wisely. She may have felt the same pressure that Martha did, but Mary chose wisely. I encourage you, choose wisely. Now let's worship the Lord for a few minutes. And you know, we skipped the deacon prayer today because this is what I felt. But we always want to pray for you. So what I'm going to ask is, deacons, be alerted. Just be aware that people may need ministered to. Some of you may want to step closer to the altar space up here. Some of you may want to bow at your seat. Nothing right. The only thing wrong is if you're reverent. So protect the anointing of God. But let's worship the Lord. And if you come forward, I'm going to be very cognizant. And we may be praying for some people as we worship. We're just going to follow the leading of the Lord. Would you stand with me?